Saturday is the next concert on the symphonic series by the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. Today we'll be talking with the guest artist, cellist Nina Kotova, and conductor Daniel Breyer. And they're here in the studio with me right now to preview the concert. Welcome to Nina and Daniel.
Good morning.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here. This is a simple concert in the sense that we're covering two pieces. But Daniel, just as we were talking, you said they're both masterpieces.
Yes, indeed, both masterpieces. And there's really no need to add anything to a program like this. It's just two great pieces of music separated by a break. And it will be a wonderful program.
You don't have to crowbar in an overture or a waltz or anything like that. It just stands so well.
Both pieces are so powerful and speak so powerfully on their own. I can't imagine putting something so close to it on a program. I think it just needs to, each piece can speak so well for its own self that it's great to have a two-work program like this.
You'll be opening this concert by conducting Sibelius's Fifth Symphony.
Yes.
He wrote seven.
Mm-hmm.
The fifth, though, is probably performed more than the rest?
I think you'd be... It'd be between the second and the fifth is probably the most, between those two, yeah. And I think the fifth is a very important symphony for him because in the fourth symphony, he wrote very, very, very sleek and modern and music that it was very abstract. And this was a very difficult time in his life where the people in Vienna were starting to move in a direction that he wasn't. So he was a modernist. But all of a sudden, all these young people came along, and he was old-fashioned. And he was in Finland, and so he was not in the European continent, and so he was a little bit of an outsider. And before writing the Fifth Symphony, he just decided, you know what, I'm going to write the music I want to write. And maybe that's why it's so powerful.
Mm-hmm. The concert, again, is at 8 o'clock on Saturday. It is in Miller Auditorium this time after the last program was held at Chenery. You're back in Miller Auditorium. There will be a pre-concert discussion at 7 o'clock.
Yes.
The prelude. And will you be doing the post-concert chat as well? It's more of a social time.
Right. It's directly after the performance, and it's literally 5 minutes after, and it's a chance for you to ask all of the questions that came to your mind when you were listening to us perform.
Okay. The second work on the program is the Cello Concerto by Antonín Dvořák, and Nina Kotova will be the soloist for this piece. Nina, you are a Russian-American cellist. You studied in Moscow at the conservatory as a young student, yes?
Yes, correct.
And then furthered education in Cologne, in Germany.
Yes. I received my master's in Moscow and my master's in Germany. And I'm very grateful for my education that I was lucky to have received, studying with the best cellist soloists, which makes a big difference because of their concert experience. And I've learned this concerto, incredible concerto by Antonín Dvořák, his second cello concerto, which is the most popular one. In many ways, it is a powerful work for both the solo cello and for orchestra. It is a symphonic work for cello as a cello concerto. And of course, it is one of my most favorite concertos. I have recorded it also, and the recording is out to buy. So I was lucky to have studied with Igor Gavrish and Boris Pergamenchikov in Germany and go through these works like Dvořák, Shostakovich, Haydn, Saint-Saëns, Schumann, and so on.
I was very interested for you to tell us some of the soloists that you studied with, and the fact that this piece you have worked with for many years.
Yes, absolutely. I even studied the same piece with Igor Gavrish and Valentin Feigen, who is also one of the most incredible cellists of the 20th century.
Now you live in the United States?
Yes, for many years I have studied in the United States, and I live here since 1991.
And where? What state
in many
are you in?
Ways my life has taken me to many beautiful places where I met interesting people and learned the way of life and the way of thinking, and I learned to love it. I lived in Indiana, on the East Coast, in New York, in Texas, and now I'm in Los Angeles.
Oh my goodness, that is such a life so far. That makes me wonder if being adaptable to where you're living and the culture you're in currently, can you apply, you know, your skill at learning new things and learning new ways of life and regions and localities, can you apply that renewal to the music that you play?
Absolutely. What an interesting thought that is. I've often felt that way. And of course, genetics somehow play their role incredibly mysteriously, somewhat. Of course, I was born in Moscow, and I studied there, grew up in Moscow, and then I lived in Germany. My half-brother is British, so my stepdad is British. My mother lives in England for now more than 25 years. Soon 30 years, and I've lived in many countries around the world, and I travel around the world at least once or twice or three times a year.
So you've learned something about adapting and finding yourself in new places.
And appreciating it. That's a good word.
My guest is Nina Kotova, who is a soloist this Saturday with the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra. Daniel Breyer is the conductor and will begin the concert by leading the Sibelius Symphony No. 5. Why don't we look at the music to Sibelius to begin here? I have the first movement queued up. You gave us some of its historical context.
Yeah.
He was Finnish, which meant he is not one of the continental cosmopolitan guys of the time. And what time period was this?
This would have been in the very early 1900s, around between 1910 and 1915 was when he was working on this particular symphony. And it was a difficult time in his life. It was a time of struggle where he was trying to figure out, should he try to go along with the young modernists or just be himself and go his own pathway? And I think I'm very grateful that he chose his own pathway.
People study this symphony because it's so different.
Yes.
They try to figure out why it's so special. What are some of the things you've discovered when studying it?
The hardest, you know, it's kind of a cliche to say that words can't describe music, but this is a very good example of this, because what he does in this symphony really defies any adequate description. However, I think I can explain it in a way that will get the point across just a little bit. I think the best way to understand this symphony is that the symphony itself, it composes itself in real time as you're listening to it. It's like watching a time lapse, you know, of maybe a landscape as it changes through multiple seasons, or maybe like right now I'm thinking of Legos because I play with Legos all the time with my daughter. But, you know, like if you were to put a camera up and watch a whole Lego project go up and then speed it up, you just see this, it develops. And so where composers like Dvorak would take a theme and they present the whole theme and it's so beautiful, it's an amazing theme, and they just give it to you right away, Sibelius doesn't do that. He gives you a fragment and then another fragment, and then he combines those two and then another fragment, and then somehow by the end you have these majestic, incredible themes. And in this symphony, he does it on multiple levels. He does it with small themes, but the movements of the symphony themselves, they build on each other until all of a sudden that movement is complete. So everything's stacked to the end, but the entire symphony itself is also that way. It's stacked so that you get to the very, very ending and you hear this incredible theme in the horns that he is using to depict the flight of migrating swans. And you hear this theme and it feels like you've heard it all along, even though you're only hearing it for the first time. It's just it's magnificent music. It's music that composes itself in real time.
Daniel Breyer, there's a really special offer that Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra has chosen to make for this concert. We've just recently marked Veterans Day, the 100th anniversary of the armistice of World War I. And so maybe you can tell us what the KSO is offering for veterans.
Yeah, for all veterans and active duty service people, we're offering two free tickets to this performance. And I'm really excited about it because, you know, music is one of these ways which we all can come together. And it's a wonderful way for us to say thank you for all of the sacrifice and service that you've given to our country so that we can go to Miller Auditorium and play wonderful music like this.
Let's hear music from the first movement of the Symphony No. 5 by Jean Sibelius, recording from 1982, Daniel, from yes. Simon Rattle and the Philharmonia Orchestra, a fresh performance on Saturday night at 8 o'clock. Tickets available and passes available through the KSO website. That's KalamazooSymphony.com. And the box office, you can reserve tickets at Miller Auditorium at 387-2300. That was a long break for music, but I think Daniel Breyer would agree with Sibelius, it's hard to know where to fade out unless you complete a full movement.
That's true.
My guest is Daniel Breyer, who will be conducting the Sibelius Symphony No. 5 on Saturday, the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra in concert at Miller Auditorium. And on the second half of the program, our soloist Nina Kotova will take the stage and perform one of the most brilliant and beautiful cello concertos ever written, the Antonín Dvořák Cello Concerto in B minor. And Nina, you shocked me by saying this was his second concerto? I had no idea.
There yes, the first one is very rarely played, but this is the one to listen to.
Of course. Of course. Was it just a student composition or something, the first one?
Yes, much earlier. Not a student, but a much earlier work.
Now, the story goes that Dvořák came to the United States. He had a position in New York, and he was terribly homesick.
This is a beautiful, very touching story. Yes, Antonín Dvořák was a person who was very attached to his homeland. And this theme is going through a lot of his music, and so that's what we hear in the cello concerto, the very powerful first movement, contrasting song-like second movement, heartfelt, and the third movement is courageous, energetic, filled with fantastic cello writing, music, and of course the orchestra is beyond one of the best concertos that I know. Once again, I like to repeat that. And the third movement ends with, and one wouldn't expect that, a beautiful coda in the sense that it is as if hanging high in the air, in the sky, and you can almost hear the birds sing. And you just have to experience that. And it ends with a accelerating, like a rocket taking off moment that is just, it brings tears to one's eyes.
Describing this music with words like nobility and a bit of homesickness and beauty reminds me to mention once again that veterans and current service people are being offered two free passes to this concert, which is Saturday. And just simply contact the Kalamazoo Symphony, the office, or the ticket office at Miller Auditorium, which is 387-2300, or the website, kalamazoosymphony.com. As you said, Daniel, the music itself can be a reason to remember why it's great to be alive and why there is much to hope for.
Yes, indeed.
In our communities. The orchestra itself, let's hear about some of the maybe parts in this concerto that will interact with cello here and there, bringing the strings up to the best sound that they can have. And will you be splitting the... we talked about this last time. I was wondering, the opening concert, the violin one and violin two were on different sides of the stage.
Yes, violins will be antiphonal again in this performance. This is how Dvorak and Sibelius would have been working with their orchestras. With divided violins, it makes sure that the reason we do it, it went away in maybe the 50s or the 60s was with the advent of different recording technologies. They wanted to separate the treble and the bass, and so putting the violins on the left of the conductor and the violas and the cellos and basses on the right kind of helped that. But there's this really beautiful core to the sound that happens when the cellos and the violas and the basses are in the center of the orchestra, and like in even the placement of the horns that I actually, and Julian as well, that we prefer puts them on the side of the woodwinds, so it enables their sound to project back off the back row and then straight through the center of the orchestra, because we want that richness in the core of the sound. And it's fun for the audience when you're listening to the strings when they're divided, especially with composers like Sibelius and Dvorak and Mozart and Brahms and Beethoven that wrote with this in mind. You hear these incredible stereophonic effects where you hear the violins play on one side and then that theme jumps across the stage instantly to the other side. And sometimes there's back and forth between the two. So it creates, I think, so many advantages, and it will be that way.
Yeah. Very stimulating as a listener. Maybe we don't know why you designed it that way. I mean, there's a lot of care that goes into it, but our imaginations start working. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can turn a symphony into a game. Of different parts.
Musical chairs or something. Not really, but I think the other thing with this particular concerto that I love so much, and one of the reasons that it is on the second half, there are very few concerti that can anchor a second half of a program. Because the second half needs to be something great and grand, and it has to be something that has a great statement that speaks to the listener, so that when the listener walks out of the hall, they feel fulfilled and they feel like they've been transported somewhere. And this concerto is a prime example of one that can do that. And it's really a grand symphony for soloist and orchestra. Just the way he has Nina playing with the flute, and then with the clarinet, and then
the violin at the third movement.
The violin is like a special.
Very short film.
And it's
very,
and
the dialogue between the solo cello and the orchestra, and then the tutti that take minutes.
Yes,
minutes.
Yeah, it's really special.
Nina, you have traveled around the world with this concerto, even.
Yes.
What are some memories you have? What other orchestras have you appeared with to play Dvorak or other solo concertos, some favorite orchestras around the world?
Well, I think I would like first to mention the recording that I did that came out 10 years ago, and apparently it sold out very quickly.
So we can't get it today, although you should have it reissued.
Absolutely, I would love it to be reissued. And we did this recording with Andrew Litton and London Philharmonia, and that was an incredible experience recording it in London. And since then, and before that, for many years, this concerto has been the major concerto of my repertoire. And I've played it. I can tell how many
times.
There's
so many places.
with fantastic orchestras and around the world. And it's always a beautiful experience because this music just can't be anything else but a joy to play.
Mm-hmm. Is part of your life as a cellist, is it mostly focused on soloing with orchestra? Do you also arrange or have recitals and perhaps chamber ensembles?
Absolutely, yes. I have just played a recital in New York at Carnegie's Weill Recital Hall, and I'm going back in 2 weeks once again to play a recital with Angel Romero. It is going to be a cello and guitar recital, and I have just played 2 weeks ago a recital dedicated to Russian sonatas, Russian music. I have a recording of Russian sonatas with Fabio Bedini, pianist, who I often play with. Yes, absolutely, I play chamber music, I play solo, I have a Bach Six Suites recording.
It's a very full life.
I enjoyed it.
Nina Kotova, her last name is Kotova, and recordings can be found in many places online. You are signed with one of the major artist management companies, IMG, and you can find biography and a lot of material at their site as well. Nina Kotova will be performing on Saturday with Kalamazoo Symphony, Dvorak's The Concerto in B Minor. We have time to hear one movement, perhaps, from this concerto, and I'll let you debate which movement that should be, one, two, or three.
That's a very difficult decision. I mean, because they're all so special, but I don't know. What do you think?
Which one
would you like to listen to?
Big silence.
Yes.
It's okay.
The second movement.
That sounds great.
Because? Cantabile, the song it sometimes is even more interesting to me because it speaks to me better.
Thank you.
The music speaks for itself in so many ways. We heard the middle movement of Dvorak's cello concerto, but we have time for a few more words on the program. Saturday, the Kalamazoo Symphony Orchestra will perform this concerto with soloist cellist Nina Kordova, who is here in the studio at the end of this hour, along with conductor Daniel Breyer. The other work on the program is the Fifth Symphony of Sibelius. This program is so near to Veterans Day, and the 100th anniversary of Armistice has prompted the KSO to offer free tickets to members of the service.
Yes, yeah, two free tickets to all veterans and active duty service people, and it's our way of saying thank you for your service for our country.
You may contact the Kalamazoo Symphony through the website, kalamazoosymphony.com. Tickets also through milleraudatorium.com or 387-2300. Nina, this is a piece, of course, you play from memory when you perform the cello concerto by Dvorak. Does this allow you to interact more with the orchestra? And as a soloist, I know you ask much of yourself to communicate and play at your very, very best for the audience and give them a sense of this piece that they will take home forever. Can you ask the same of the musicians behind you as you play this piece?
Of course, absolutely, that everybody puts their best into their efforts of how to reach every heart of each person in the audience. And anything technical that has preceded the working on any piece is there to serve the final result, which is communication, delivering that beauty, that impact to the listener. And this is all there is about. We are communicating with musicians. We read music, we play, and the music goes through our fingers and our souls. But the end result, the result is what counts, is what there is written in the score by the composer.
Hmm. Yeah, and of course you will ask a lot of the musicians, yes, both in this piece and in the Sibelius on Saturday.
It's one of the special things about our work is that as detailed as we tend to be, and we musicians are quite obsessive. We will obsess over things and the smallest of details. It's all for one purpose, and that's to communicate with our audience. And that's the special thing about live performance, and that's the special thing about the Kalamazoo Symphony. And when you come to hear your own professional orchestra, you're coming and sharing an experience. Every single person in the room is sharing the same exact experience. There is space between the orchestra and the audience, but that's only a physical thing. In all reality, we're all in it together, the audience, everyone on the stage, and it's just my job as the conductor to create the space where that can happen. And that's why we do what we do, to communicate with others.
And that's where we have to leave it today. Nina and Daniel, thank you for previewing this concert. It's Saturday at 8 o'clock in Miller Auditorium. KalamazooSymphony.com is the website. And I hope that you come away with this concert with wonderful memories and pride with the music, having communicated with all those in Miller Auditorium. Thanks again.
Thank you very much.